Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. Good morning, young ladies and gentlemen. And a special welcome to you this morning to church too. Boys and girls, this is a very special time of year because it's the time that's leading up to Christmas. Okay, so Christmas for all of us is a very special time of year, not just for the presents that we get, because you get 2 weeks holiday from school. That's brilliant. You can sleep in a wee bit longer than you normally would. It's brilliant too because it's a family time of year, and it's also brilliant because of why we're here today. This is called the season, this time of year in the church is called Advent. A-D-V-E-N-T. Advent. Now, I have a confession to make, okay? Right? When I was your age, I never went to church, okay? When I was a lot older, your age, I never went to church either, okay? And it was probably when I got beyond school and I was working and I was in my early 20s that I started going to church. And I hadn't a clue when people were talking about Advent what they were talking about. Really, I was completely ignorant, right? People were saying, isn't Advent a wonderful time of the year? And I was thinking, well, it would be if I knew what it was, perhaps, right? I hadn't a clue what it meant. Can you tell me, what do you think the word Advent, or what it means? What's it all about, Advent? Kind of countdown to Christmas, but what is it that happened at Christmas? Jesus was born, right? Advent means the coming of someone really special. The time when Jesus was born. And so that's why we are here today, because we are approaching a very, very special event. Now, I want you to think for a wee moment, and adults, I want you to think as well. I want you to think about your own birthday, when it's leading up to your own birthday. How do you feel when it's leading up to your own birthday? The countdown to your birthday. What is it you're feeling? I know what we're feeling. Right, it's called dread. Okay, right. Because the countdown to my next birthday will be the countdown to 63. Okay. Big intake of breath here. Who took the big intake of breath? Put your hands up. Right, right. 63, right. So when you get a wee bit older, you begin to dread the countdown because it means that you really are beginning to see the years slip away. But when you're young, right, what happens when it's your birthday? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No. No. You get excited. Now, why would you get excited about something like a birthday? I mean, it's only another year. You're another year older. What age are you? 6. So that means 7 will be your next birthday, right? So why would we get excited about a birthday? Or is it just you that gets excited about your birthday? No? Oh, come on, guys. Did you waken up before you came out here? Right. Right. Your mums and dads get excited as well, because that marks the day that you were what? Your birthday marks the day that you were born. Right. Now, it's a special event to your parents because that's the day that you came into the world. Okay? And that's really special because as parents, we love you. Okay? We love our children. And I know that you drive your parents nuts sometimes, right? And I know that your parents drive you nuts sometimes as well. Okay? That happens. But by and large, your parents think you're really special. They love you. Okay. So when it comes round to your birthday, it reminds them of that very, very special day when you came into the world, or perhaps that special day when you came into their lives. Okay. So that's why it's special. That's why it's remembered. And that's why you get given presents. Okay? To mark that special day. So there's a kind of a countdown to it, isn't there? And there's cards given to you. And maybe there's a sleepover. That's a bit of a misnomer, because probably a sleepover, none of you sleep, isn't that right? Right, okay. So there's all these kind of things. Maybe you get taken out somewhere special. You go somewhere special. I don't know what happens. It's all very different. But there's a lot of excitement around it, because your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe your aunts and uncles, maybe your brothers and sisters, they all want to celebrate with you something that was a very, very, very special day to them. Okay. A very, very special day to them. When you were either born or when you came into their lives. And so, when it comes to Jesus' birthday, which happened how many years ago, roughly? Can you remember? 2,000 years ago. It's a long time. It's a long time to be remembering somebody's birthday, isn't it? Right. But he's so special. That's why we want to remember him here in the church and throughout the whole world. I mean, throughout the whole world, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of millions of people who will be gathering together just to remember the birthday of Jesus. What about that later on? But what I want us to do today is I want us to look at a clip. And then we'll kind of think about it. It's called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And in some respects, it's quite a shocking thing to look at. But I want you to listen very carefully to what it talks about, and then we'll talk about it together, okay? This is very, very difficult to and understand. We try and help you. Last Monday night, a group of what we call elders in the church. These are the people who lead the church along with me. There are about 30 of them. We sat down together and we thought, what do we believe this church should look like in 5 years' time? What's it going to be like in 5 years' time? It's called a plan for the future. These are always very, very difficult things to do. But we wanted to try and work out what it was going to be like. One of the things that we want to try and do is to get guys like you more involved in what we do and have more of a say what happens in the church. But we were looking into the future and saying, 5 years' time, this is what it's going to be like. And then what we had to do, or we'll have to do now, is work our way back and try and do things that will make all of that happen. So we arrive there in 5 years' time. When you look at that image that you saw, that was about the American Revolution. It was one of the bloodiest wars that there was. And then another bloody war came along called the First World War. And that was followed by the Second World War. And that was followed by Korea, then Vietnam, then Afghanistan, then Iraq, now Aleppo. And the world just seems to be full of war. And yet, the message of the Christian faith seems to be about peace on earth. This person who came to bring peace on earth. So the big question is, did he fail? Did it happen? Or is it yet to happen? Maybe we've got to try and see our world from God's way of looking at it, that he sent Jesus to begin his plan, and at the end of the world, at the end of time, his plan will become complete. But between now and then, we've got to hear that message of peace on earth. And what you and I have got to try and do is to live at peace. To live at peace with one another. No fighting, right? No calling names. To live at peace within our families. To live at peace where we work. To live at peace in school. To try to live at peace, to try to do as much as we can to be at peace and to promote peace, because that was one of the messages that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. But the big thing that Jesus said was this: if you're going to be at peace, then you need me to help you. And so he has a gift for us, an invitation. You know how there's invitations at Christmas to come to a party or to come to this or to come to that? Well, Jesus' invitation is this: would you please come to me? Give your life to me. And let me change your life so that from now on you can live like me. And the world, bit by bit, will become a better place and a different place because Jesus is living in the lives of people like you and people like me. Listening to a scientist the other day. He was one of the best known scientists in the world, and he was being asked a question, and the question was, do you think that we will soon be able to know everything about everything? A very hard question to ask anybody, but the question was, do you think we're soon going to come to the time when science will be able to explain absolutely everything? And he said, been a scientist for 50 years. And he said, when I was a young scientist, I thought that I could explain everything in the world. Now he says, I think that I really don't know much at all. Because the more you try to learn about everything, the more you realize how little you know. I was listening to another scientist as well, and he was talking about how the world began. You know about the Big Bang Theory, yeah? About how there was this big bang and the universe was thrown into existence, and then over billions and billions and billions of years, we've arrived at where we are. Sensible theory. No argument with it. But he said, you know, I think there might have been a universe existed before that. The guy said to him, how can you say that? Well, he said, think about it. He said, because The universe is going like that, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, like an elastic band, it's going to snap and go boom, like that. And where it won't exist at all, it'll go back into this small ball-like thing. And then it'll go bang again. And over billions of years, it will just grow and grow and grow. And then it'll go boom, bang, boom, bang. He said, so the universe might have existed hundreds of times. But then he said this, but I don't know really. I'm just guessing. But it's a good guess. You know what, boys and girls, when it comes to knowing things, it's very, very difficult for us to get our head round Christmas. It's difficult to get our head round the fact that God, whom we believe is a spirit and he is greater than anybody who exists and he is everywhere, could actually become one of us. Could become a baby, God to the world, grow up in our world, die for us, overcome death, and is living now forever. It's kind of hard to get our heads around that. But because we can't get our heads around it, like scientists can't get their heads around everything, it doesn't mean that it's not true. It just means it's difficult to understand. But then it's maybe not that difficult to understand if God loves you and me and everybody in this world so much that he need come and tell us that. And it was no use him telegraphing something in the sky or whatever way he might have done it. It needed to be done by becoming a human being so that he could speak to us, human beings, and tell us how much he loved us. And so in a sense, guys, the greatest gift to the world, not just this Christmas, but every Christmas, and the 365 days between every Christmas, the greatest gift to the world is Jesus. And it always will be. The greatest gift that you and I can have is Jesus. It always will be. And if, this is a, telling you the truth, if somebody came into this church today and said, I tell you what, Mr. Greenshields, I'll give you £1 billion. His name might be Donald Trump, I don't know. But anyway, somebody came in and said, I'll give you £1 billion if you gave up your Christian faith. I would say, no way. And then if he doubled it and tripled it and kept on making it bigger and bigger, I would still say, no way. Do you know why? Because the gift of Jesus is greater, more wonderful than any other gift can be. Money is just rubbish in comparison to it. And so at Christmas time, you'll open a lot of gifts. And there'll be good gifts. And there'll be gifts from your parents because they're wanting to say that they love you. But please, please don't forget that there is a gift that has been given that's staggering, because it's the gift of ultimate love, the love of God for you and for me. And you just can't buy that with money, guys, because it's too special for that. Okay, we're going to close our service now, and we're going to sing number 302, It Was on a Starry Night. Let us go from this place aware of the deep and profound love that Jesus Christ, that God our Heavenly Father, has still for this world. Let us remember this Advent season as a season to remind us of all that matters in life and beyond. And may the grace and the mercy, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with and remain with each one of us evermore.